world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
You know, the Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion, but I gotta tell you something. I'm not confused, but I'm kind of all over the place here this morning. A lot of stuff to do. We're going to take communion, get ready to take communion. And I was thinking earlier, I don't know how we'd do this. I think we ought to do communion at the end rather than at the beginning. But we're not going to do that here today. Appreciate Joe getting up this morning. And I contacted Joe. You know, we gave him last week off. I said, Joe, you need another week off. It's 4 o'clock out there. Where you? 4 a.m. And he said, no, Coach, I want to do it. So Joe's going to lead us in communion here in a second. So get your elements ready to be able to do that. Man, I got some stuff for you. What's the theme here? What's the theme here? Who told you that, and why do you believe him? Who told you that, and why do you believe him? You know, sometimes I'm telling you the truth now. I come across well-seasoned Christians, and I'll bring up a subject. And they'll look at me cross-eyed, like they ain't never heard it. They ain't never heard it. You know, the scriptures tell us my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Not a lack of information, but lack of knowledge. What's the difference between information and knowledge? Well, I would assume just off the top of my head, knowledge is the processing of information. We live in a time of great, great deception. Now, I hate to tell you this, we are greatly deceived. I'm going to get into that here in a second after communion. And I just ask all of you, hang in there with us, man. Look. Plow your row. You guys hear me? Plow your row. So, Coach, what do you mean by that? Well, one of the worst things that's happened to us in Christianity, in my opinion, is the guy in the pulpit makes you conform. Conform. I know Betty has said a number of times that she's gone to her pastor and said, or church leader, said, what about this? What about this? And they say, Betty, they'd be very happy if you went away, wouldn't they? They would just be very, very happy if you went away because they've got it all figured out and they're telling everybody exactly what it all is. And Betty, you just come in and pass gas. Betty, would you just please not come back? Am I telling you the truth, Betty? And so we have a congregation. I don't call it a congregation. We have a conflagration, whatever that word is, of folks out there from many different beliefs. And one of the things that I try to do here, I've told you this a number of times. I don't know. I don't know what's true. I know the truth, but I don't always know what's true. And I know this, that we have been so propagandized. And if you don't understand this, that one of the jobs of the evil one is to get you off the truth. He doesn't care if you're close to it. I mean, you can be close to it. And you can have a little bit of it. And he doesn't want you to have all of it. He doesn't want you to have the truth. And Christ said, you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, will make you free. Hey, folks, doesn't set you free. Doesn't set you free. It makes you free. It's a big difference in those two terms. So when I come in here every day, I want you to know something. I'm on a relentless pursuit of the truth. I don't know what's going on, but I know that's a lie. And I know that's a lie. And I know that's a lie. And I would love to know the truth. I got a clip today. I'm not going to play it. Maybe I'll get around to it. Can somebody explain to me this? Huh? This is a good one, really. Why aren't we allowed to go to Antarctica? Has anybody ever really dug into that? Why is Antarctica off limits? And what was it, Robert Byrd? What was he, General? General Robert Byrd? If I don't have enough, I have that word right. Admiral Byrd, Admiral Byrd, thank you. Admiral Robert Byrd did a great treatise on Antarctica, and we're not even allowed to have any of the information on it. You know, the planes don't even fly over Antarctica. You know, planes go way out of their way to get to Europe or cross whatever. They're not allowed to fly. All nations, no nation able to fly over Antarctica. What's that about? So look, conspiracy theory central. That's here we are. We're going to throw it on the table. We're going to chew it off. And when you leave here, you believe what you want. You don't have to believe what I believe. And I don't have to believe what you believe. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. I'm 74 years old. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. So let's get going into communion here, Joe. Appreciate you. But by the way, folks, I don't know if you know this or not. Tina Peters got let set free. How long has Joe been leading us in that prayer that she would be given freedom? And the deep, deep, dark story behind that is because Tina Peters knows about the stolen election. She has all the data on the stolen election. But prayer works. She's out. Huh? She's out. I'm getting texts. My text thing's blown up. I'll get to it here in a sec. Joe, Betty says they're going to kill you. You go by the boundaries of Antarctica and they're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. They ain't going to let you do it. Men's hearts failing them for fear for the things coming upon the earth. You better pray there's a rapture. we'll get into that. Joe, you ready to go, man?
Yeah, I'm trying to get my camera to work.
We don't need your camera. We do. Okay. If not, we're okay.
Well, I put on the good shirt that makes me look like a Calvary Chapel pastor. But it's a Hawaiian shirt.
Well, we can hear you. We can go with
okay.
it.
Okay. The reading this morning is Romans 5:1-11.
We have it on our screen, Joe, so we can see.
Good. Yeah, I know. That's how I read it. And producer's really good at keeping up with where I am at the time. Amen. So that's great. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen on that one. I got peace with him. Woo! That's good to know.
By whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also.
What? We glory in tribulation? Joe! Go ahead.
Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen.
For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man someone even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Hallelujah. That'd be me.
Moreover, then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
Amen.
For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life.
Joe, do you understand the profundity of what you just read there?
It's extremely profound.
We were enemies. We were enemies of his. Folks, if you're not saved, if you're not on Christ's team, you're an enemy of the cross. Do you understand that? Do you really, really understand it? And the conversion to Christ makes you a friend of God rather than an enemy. Oh, that's so deep and so profound.
Yeah, and the Lord practices what he preaches because he loves his enemies.
Amen.
He sacrificed his life for his enemies.
Amen. Boy.
And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
Amen. Wow.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again with gratitude. Gratitude for the truths we have just read. Gratitude for our Lord who sacrificed for us, who were at one time on the other side of this war.
Amen.
But now we're on the side of truth and the side of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, help us to take that attribute that you have just shown us, not to hate our enemies, but to find a way to love them over to our side. It's easier said than done.
Amen.
We don't really know that path, Lord. It's not it's not the natural path for this world we live in, but we know it's possible.
Mm.
So help us to be like that a little more or a lot more every day. A little more or a lot more. But we also know, Lord, there's times when you draw a line. There was a time when you turned over the tables in the temple. And it isn't always turn the cheek. for the right righteous reason, there is a time to stand up and push back.
Amen.
Or not let someone proceed forward.
Amen.
We realize that, Lord, but we often don't know when. So we need you, Lord, with the Holy Spirit to wake us up at that time. To let us know that now is not the time to go along now or turn the cheek. Now is the time to stand firm or even go forward and take ground and perhaps rescue somebody.
Amen.
And we need your guidance there, Lord. And I'm grateful that Coach reminded us this week that Tina Peters was released. And we are really grateful. I know that she had been probably in tears over being set free. Literally set free.
Amen.
And there is something rotten in our justice system, Lord, that could have allowed that to happen in the first place.
Amen.
Something disgusting there.
Amen.
If these once great states can allow such atrocities of justice and bending the rules to and the laws and the interpretations of things to fit whatever they think is justified in the end by their actions, which are illegal.
Amen.
And so, Lord, as Coach said, that the truth makes us free. We pray that in these once great states of Colorado and California and Minnesota and Illinois and Michigan and Virginia and all these places where these battles are in the state legislatures and in the representatives that they send to Washington and in the voting system and then all these lies and injustices. We pray, Lord, that you let out an avalanche of truth come now, an avalanche of truth, to make people free.
Amen.
Because our country and the world needs truth.
Amen.
Absence of truth allows the artistic liars to paint a whole illusion around us that we can be deceived and not know up from down. And Lord, we ask that you keep us on the right path and be grateful for what you did for us. we realize we can participate in the new covenant with communion, Lord. It's not just a historical thing that we remember and do a religious tradition. It's a lot more than that. It's a living, breathing moment with you where we take the spiritual bread of your body and the spiritual blood of your sacrifice, and we relive that again and again and again, consume you into our spirits, bringing us closer together. It's a part of being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And so, Lord, we ask that you forgive us our sins and transgressions at this moment. We ask that you bring us cleansed into your sight, and that you bless this bread and this drink, representing your body and blood that was shed for us so long ago. Perhaps only 2 days in your eyes, though, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." "But this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it.
All of it.
For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Joe. Covered a lot of ground there, man. Covered a lot of ground. We're in a crucible. I've been telling you that, right? We're in a crossroads. We're in a spiritual crossroads. And I have to tell you something. In order for something to, in order for a lie to be believed, boy, it has to be pretty close to the truth. It has to be close to the truth. If it's really, really a big fraud, wiping my glasses here a minute. It's obvious for us to see. That's a fakery, right? The Bible says that because we rejected the truth, the Lord said, in fact, pull that up there, Spence. That's where I want to jump off today. where is it? I'm sorry. Yeah, he's ahead of me. 2 Thessalonians. Folks, Ray, you looking at me? Lies, deception, and fear. Friends, if you learn nothing from Coach Dave Live, lies, deception, and fear. Folks, there's the truth which sets you free, and there are lies which put you in bondage. Christ and truth, freedom. Satan and lies, bondage. So all you have to look at whether it be the government, whether it be your business, whether it be your job, whether it be your family, ask yourself this very simple question. Do they know Jesus? And if they don't, you know then they belong to the father of lies. That's what the Bible says, folks. The Bible says you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. See, Adam sold us out. Oh, Eve did too. Eve was really kind of the main one. It was her idea. Adam sold us out. He traded the blessings of God for the pride of life. And we've been fighting that fight ever since. Why? Because it's in our bloodline, folks. It's in our bloodline. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the cross. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The idea that Christ died for everyone, you better understand that every person you know is born into the kingdom of darkness. Do you folks, do you understand that? Do you understand that? You understand that every person born today is born into the kingdom of darkness. David Arthur said, the children of wrath. And the only way that you become a child of God is by the blood of Jesus Christ, not by going to church, not by following the rules and regulations, not by that, not by all that religious stuff they've taught us. No. Personal conversion. Personal conversion. I wasn't going to start with this now, but I'm going to start with it today, if you just bear with me. The commentary that I wrote today. Will you pull that up, Spence? I'm going to go through it, and I'm going to go through it quickly. But I want you all to hear it. And folks, I'd like you to do this. You share this stuff. You share this stuff. Why are the Joe Rogans of the world running everything? Well, we found that out yesterday, didn't we? We talked about that yesterday. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that we have a prophetic unction. We have a truth-telling unction. People don't want to hear it. So I wrote this today, June yesterday. Are you converted? Stop a minute. Converted. You ever drive a convertible car? What happens with a convertible car? Well, it goes from having a roof on it to not having a roof. Converted. So convert is to change or turn into another substance or form. Oh my goodness. This is so good. Huh? Look, are you looking at me? I'm not asking you, are you saved? I'm not asking to you, do you read your Bible? I'm not asking you, do you go to church regularly? I'm not asking, do you do street ministry or do you serve the, I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you one very simple question. Are you converted? Would you die for your faith? I'm serious. Would you die for Jesus? It's a pretty chilling thought, I have to admit, but I think it says a lot about one's commitment to Christ. Many say they would be willing to lay down their life. I'm not really sure they mean it. Well, the rubber meets the road, and we are actually confronted with a life and death situation for our faith. Betty, would you be found faithful? Even unto death?
Yes.
I hope I am. Oh, I'm sorry. I hope I'm never faced with that decision. And I pray that I'd be worthy of the test. But I don't think any of us can really know until we're faced with the reality of that choice. Deny Jesus and live, or confess him and die. How would you respond? Luke says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that thy faith fail not. Watch this. And when thou art converted, strengthen your brothers. Whoa. Peter, who had been one of the Lord's closest disciples, was not converted? Huh? He didn't go from a hard top to a convertible? He wasn't converted? For 3 years, he'd been part of Jesus' A-team, one of his confidants, a follower of the Lord, yet somehow Jesus knew that this loud mouth blowhard was more bark than bite. You see, there's a difference between being a follower of Jesus and being a convert. Wow. Ray, that's profound, isn't it, brother? Huh? Folks, that's from the Holy Spirit right there. It's my contention today that just like in Jesus' day, there are plenty of followers, but there ain't very many converts. You guys, let me pause a minute. You know who Peter was? Peter said, look, I'm going to go with you all the way, dude. I'm going to, wherever they crucify you, dude, they're going to, I'm with you, dude. Peter, he's just right-hand guy. So just what is a convert? To convert is to change in character, to transform by conversion. A follower is a person, listen, a convert is a change in character. A follower is a person who imitates, copies, or takes as a model or ideal. We want to be like Jesus. We don't want Jesus in us. Ray, am I doing okay? Are you following this, Ray? Huh? We want to be a follower of him. We don't want to be him. No. After 3 years of watching Jesus, Peter was still a follower. He admired Jesus. He imitated him. And he modeled his ideals. But Peter had never been converted. Question, why was Peter hanging around Jesus? Maybe for the benefits. Maybe he was getting paid good. Maybe he was getting invited to fancy people's houses. Maybe he was getting a chance to speak to people. He loved that stuff, man. He loved that stuff. Just what is a convert? A convert is a changing character to transform. A follower is a person who imitates. I'm sorry. Peter was a follower. He admired Jesus, imitated him, modeled his idea, but Peter had never been converted. He had never been transformed to a point where there was a change in his character. He never reached the point where he loved not his own life, even to death. He had a head change, but he didn't have a heart change. How about you? You a follower or convert? Two decades ago, I began to study further what I felt the Spirit was showing me. Okay, Lord, if Peter wasn't converted before the crucifixion, when was he converted? He was one of the three disciples that you had handpicked to pray with you in the garden. Even after you had warned him that he was about to be sifted, you still invited him to the garden. You chastised him for sleeping when he should have been praying or fighting. He promised you that he was ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. But clearly he wasn't. No. Lord, when was Peter converted? What's going on, Spence? If you follow the crucifixion story, you'll find that shortly after Jesus was arrested, all the followers deserted him. Yet Peter, who was about to die, followed him from afar. Hang on. How many people you know are following him from afar? Following from afar to watch the action, sitting outside the palace waiting for the verdict, where he proceeds to deny three times that he even knew who the Lord was. Why? Because he was a follower. He wasn't all in. Matthew 26 ends with these words. And he went out and wept bitterly. Is this when Peter was converted? How about you? You follow Jesus from afar? Have you wept bitterly over your denial of the Lord? Are you brokenhearted over the callous condition of your heart? Have you repented of your cold-heartedness towards the unrepentant sin masquerading as Christianity? Are you, as Paul alleged, ashamed of the gospel? Do you deny him before men? This is good stuff. And hey, is this good stuff, folks? When thou art converted. Hey, you, Adam, you a convert? Or are you just a jock sniffer, as Brett would call him, just a follower? Want to wear the uniform, but never get in the game. Got your Christian uniform on. Go to church and praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for all the good stuff you're giving me. Don't put me in any trouble. What's the purpose of your Christianity? Was the purpose of Christ's death and resurrection merely to purchase you a get-out-of-hell-free card? Did he suffer and die merely to give you a better life? If push comes to shove, are you ready to lay down your life for Jesus? When he told us that greater love has no man than this, then he would lay down his life for his friends. He was referring only to, was he referring only to his death and his friends? You see, folks, end time eschatology is all the rage. Churches love to study the signs of the times, and many are convinced that the imminent return of Jesus is at the door. It's caused a plague of apathy in the church. To fight evil is to fight against the Lord, we're told. God has it all under control. It's just mapped out the way he told us. And by the way, we'll be out of here because he has not appointed us under wrath. Hey, dude, ain't about you. Failure to speak against sin is a denial of Jesus, no less than the denial by Peter. I'm going to read that again, and then you can all give me a thumbs up. Failure to speak against sin is a denial of Jesus, no less than the denial by Peter.
Boom.
Let me give you a couple scriptures here. And by the way, Son of man, I've made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, you shall surely die, and you don't give him a warning or speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man's going to die in his sin. But dude, it's on your tab. Boy, this ain't feel good Christianity, is it? Who will rise up against for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I. Christ lives in me. He lives in my meat suit. Christ is in me, so everywhere I go, he goes. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I just become an open body for him to indwell so I can spread the kingdom. How about you? Are you willing to be hated for him? Are you ready to be persecuted for him? It's going to get worse, boys. Are you prepared to die for him? Do you love yourself more than you love the Lord? You better dig in. Tough times are coming. Sheep and goats are about to be separated. And when you are converted.
Boom.
That's pretty deep, isn't it?
Boom.
That's pretty deep. Are you converted? And I'm going to tell you this, folks. Most of the people you go with aren't. It's not their own fault. It's not their own fault. They haven't been taught the truth.
That's right.
I got so much more I want to give you, but I don't want it to be an hour of me talking. I want to hear from you. I'll jab you with a couple other things here as we go. But I'm trying. Again, I got a hand up yet. I'm looking here. This one popped up. Ray did. Go ahead, Ray. Dale's got his up. Go, Ray.
Oh, okay. Do you remember the story of Pilgrim's Progress?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one that followed him until the world got too difficult. Turned around and back. That's a kind of a picture of what you're explaining
I call them Secret Service Christians.
Yeah,
they work, exactly. Working behind the scenes. You never know. You never see them.
But Peter did have some pretty much gusto. I mean, he cut the ear off of that soldier there. And, you know, if Jesus didn't put that back on, that was a death penalty on Peter.
Well, Peter wasn't loving his neighbor there, was he, Ray?
Yeah, I guess not. But, this is a great article you wrote.
Thank you.
Had covered that once before when you first ordained me as a minister back ways back there. But
Well, you, can I be honest with you? Yeah. Ray can be, of course I can be honest.
Sure. So
this is a rewritten version of one I wrote in 2004.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Huh? Can you believe that? I was saying this in 2004. Dale, come on in.
Well, you know, when you opened up with that, that was a great write-up too, Coach, because the one thing that we do not understand about Peter's life, what brought forth the conversion is what is written in the scripture in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow produces a repentance that leads to salvation.
Amen.
Without regret, Coach. Uh-huh. And so Peter just picked up and he followed Jesus, but he had yet to have that godly sorrow moment, which converted him.
That's
and
right.
That the conversion is, it didn't change him from what he was. It changed him to what God ordained him to be, Coach.
Well, what happened is Peter saw his own cowardice. That's what broke him.
That was his. Yeah. Yeah. See, you know, one of the personality tests that I do, and I was talking with Chad about this some time ago, is that I'm a lion, right? I'm a leader and all this other stuff. But what I learned in this is also your great strengths are also your great weaknesses. Peter was a loudmouth. That all of that bolstering and everything became his weakness, because when he was squeezed, we found out what he really was.
We saw what juice came out, didn't we?
Self-preservation coward, and hallelujah.
Amen, amen. That's all of us, isn't it, folks? How many of you are afraid to I'm talking to me now. Have situations to stand up and speak the truth, but you don't for fear of the consequences. Somebody's going to get mad. Somebody's going to arrest you. Whatever it is. See, courage isn't the absence of fear. It's doing the right thing in the face of it. That's courage. To stand up and have to drag you out of the room. Sometimes church. Who needs the truth more? Who needs corrected more than the Christian ducks sitting in honk, 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 sitting in the church? Go ahead, Betty.
Well, I was just going to say, because you were talking about conversion and born again. So I think conversion, aka truly born again, you are set free. But once you're set free, you go out there and you find out about the truth and you expand God's kingdom and you're producing fruit. It makes you free and you stay free.
Amen. Betty, it is harder for me. The hardest thing in my life is not speaking the truth. It's the hardest. I get like a cancer that builds up inside of me when I don't speak the truth.
I've lost a lot of friends and family over it.
Yep, yep. Right. And you're supposed to love your neighbor. Yeah, I'm going to tell them the truth. I love them. I'm not going to tell them how pretty they are when they got a big... Oh, well, I'll stop saying that. Randy.
That's excellent commentary, Coach. It's a very timely one. That's going to preach really, really well, Coach, in this coming days, because we're in a time, you hit it at the end. You could have went on and said, now be ready and apply it in the next few years, because the hard times we're going to see is going to really show people if they're a convert or not, Coach.
That's right.
And
right.
I think this is a message of grace for the next few years. It's always a message of grace, but I mean, really, really, people, they don't understand what's coming, and it's only by the grace of God that we'll be able to be, you know, prosperous through hard times and blessed. But we will, Coach, but the hard times are about to be seen, I promise you.
We're going to see him, baby. We're going to see him. Hey, Judd, hold on a second. We'll bring you in, but I got to do this first, okay? Pull up for me, Sal. Very first one, Spence. 2 Thessalonians. Judd, hold your thought up. Now we beseech you, brothers, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and by the gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor any word nor letter, as the day of Christ is at hand. This is 2,000 years ago. At hand means imminent. Ready. Anytime. Now. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. What day? What day? That the day of Christ, except there come a falling away first. and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that as God sitteth in the temple of, so he, as God sits in the temple, showing himself that he is God. Right? We're worshiping the Antichrist. Remember not that I told you this? Scroll down, Spence. And you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time? For the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Folks, it's 2,000 years ago. Only he who now lets will let until it be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed when the Lord shall consume the spirit of his mouth, shall to destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Antichrist, right? And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish. Because look, hey, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And because they receive not the love of the truth, God sends strong delusion. Some of you didn't get that. God sends the delusion. Oh, you want to do that? You want to worship that? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead and do that. And you'll think you're doing the right thing. But dude, you are so far off course. It's judgment from God. That they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. That had pleasure in unrighteousness. I'm going to jump on that here in a second. Come on in, Judd. The Lord sends the delusion. The Lord sends the delusion. Not the devil. The Lord sends it. Phony Christians. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, I was going to go down a certain route from the beginning of the conversation, and it's pivoted. But I'll say this. President Trump came forward and said, wow, 274 FBI informants. It's public information that they had 274 informants built into January 6th.
Ooh, truth's coming out, brother.
Again, I like to go by landmarks. When I was in Washington, and the FBI building is not only condemned, it's another building. It's got dust. It's got weeds. It's got stuff just coming all out of it. It's on the world for display as a museum of what never to do again. The building's empty. And I go by this for landmark purposes. 274 informants. Peter folded. I'd like to say something about this group. I'd like to say something about the guys that I went with on J6. We had about 30 of us. Few of them folded. Now, they folded for their families. They folded out of fear. They folded out of a lot of reasons. It's sad. You can look in their eyes and they knew it. They'd look at the ground because they became silent. They were fearful of the future because they didn't put their faith in Christ.
Amen.
And I look at Pastor Bill Dunphy. And standing on solid ground,
yep.
Standing on the word, serving his time in prison, setting other captives free while he's there. His story is absolutely biblical. And so are many of the others that are in this chat thread. When the FBI came to my household, as soon as they stepped foot on my ground, I was praying. Rebuking. And I was telling them, they opened up this folder in front of my front door, showed me all my steps on January 6th. I said, so what? It's not about me. But here's the beauty. Most people don't understand this. President Trump signed a bill, $1.776 billion to go to those J6ers who are impacted.
Amen.
Redemption. Now, some will say, oh, I wouldn't take money from the government. Well, all I'm saying is this. Those people who were damaged, I bet you Pastor Bill Dunphy can do a mighty work of God with those types of funds.
And for every single shown he's converted. He's already shown he's converted.
And the point is this, Peter, after he repented and realized the whole world got a chance to hear his message.
Mm-hmm.
Christ said, what we do is greater.
Amen.
There's a greater thing coming. And all these people supporting this fear porn and all this stuff from the Scofield Bible, Mason fear crap. You got to get it out of your head and go back to the old scriptures. This was fabulous. I was blessed. Friday night, we're at the Bible Museum. The museum of all museums on planet Earth. It's actually in Washington. We get to the top floor. And the Bible scholar comes in there. He wants to talk about the Bible. He wants to talk about the Bible of Enoch and how it's not true.
Yeah.
And Sheila Holmes steps up in his chest and says, what, you don't think there's fallen angels? And put this guy on the spot in front of 30 other pastors. This little old lady gets in his junk. And you know what he says at the end? Well, maybe there's something I need to learn. Can you send me some information about that?
Are you kidding me? Huh?
Absolutely a God moment in time. Because this is what we're all learning about.
Amen.
Man, what a bright future we got.
Judd, I want to show a couple things before I go, man. That's a great story. That's a great story. Folks, I'm going to connect a dot. Remember, because we rejected the truth, the Lord sends a strong. Who sends it, Betty? Who sends the delusion? The devil?
God.
God sends the strong delusion, okay? We'll show you two things here. You guys do whatever you want to. Number 8, pull that up. Pull that up. Spencer was asleep on us, fell asleep on us. Must not be preaching very good today. America handcuffed. How the new NDAA would merge U.S. and Israeli defense. What? Wait a minute. What? America handcuffed. How the new NDAA would merge U.S. and Israeli defense. Does that mean Israel's going to come over and defend us? Is that what it means? Is that what that means? First of all, I hope not. Okay. Some of you are never going to be my friend again. Spencer, pull up. Excuse me. Number 7. Don't do anything. Okay. Number 7. Are you guys ready? Are you ready? Here's what our leaders are praying. Now, hang on. God sends a strong delusion. They'd believe a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. That's scriptural. You sitting down, Betty? You guys buckled in? Ray, I'm going to play you some truth. You can believe it or not believe it. Doesn't matter to me. Just the other side, okay? Just the other side. Go ahead.
You'd think that with this humiliation ritual you're about to see, that they would maybe pray that the small little group of people that we can't talk about wouldn't be bombing other people. But in this show of a prayer that you're about to see, it's the other way. It's everybody else's fault and not the instigator's fault. Maybe they should be praying for peace.
Peace.
Maybe that's what they should be praying for.
Father God, as a German and European, I just ask forgiveness for the anti-Semitism all around that is growing, and we repent on behalf of it, and we bless Israel. And Father, I ask that you raise up righteous politicians, righteous influencers, righteous journalists, that they would speak the truth. And Father, I ask for a Jerusalem prayer breakfast in Germany, in your name. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, I am crying out to you on behalf of Germany and on behalf of Europe. And I'm crying to you, have mercy upon Germany. Have mercy upon Europe. We promised never again. Now it's happening again. Anti-Semitism is on the rise in Germany and in Europe again. Have mercy upon Germany. Have mercy upon Europe. I repent for Germany. I repent for Europe. And ask for your grace to help us turn around. Make room for repentance in the church, first of all, and in our governments and nations. Lord, have mercy. Amen.
Yeah, Father, would you have mercy on the United Kingdom? Father, forgive us for the way we've turned our back on Israel and not defended the Jewish people. And we've allowed anti-Semitism to run free on the streets of our nation. Father, forgive the church for being silent and therefore complicit in what is taking place. Would you turn the hearts of our leaders in both government and the church, along with the people of our nation, back to honoring you and your word, so that as a nation we would once again stand with, support, and be a friend to Israel and to the Jewish people.
Father God, as we're standing here today, we want to bring China to you, Lord, on the behalf of all the Chinese people around the world. Lord, we come to you and we ask for your forgiveness and your mercy over us. Lord, please forgive us for all the things that we did that we did not support Israel. We went against Israel. Lord, please forgive us. And I pray that you would turn the hearts of all the Chinese people, Lord. Speak to us and stir our souls. And I pray that you will teach us how to love you and how to love Israel and support Israel. Lord, I especially want to pray that you will rise up a young generation that will stand for you, that will stand firmly for your word, for your truth, and will stand firmly with Israel and support Israel. Lord, I also want to pray that you will open up the gates of Israel. Open up the gates of China, open up the gates of all the Chinese people, and in unity, Lord, we will receive your kingdom coming, your glorious presence to come in. And Lord, I pray that you will also give us, release a revival among us. Lord, I also want to pray that, I want to proclaim that China will become a blessed nation that blesses Israel. Thank you, Lord. In the name of our Lord God Almighty, amen.
Abba Father, praise your name. And we give you all thanks. We are here because of you, God of Israel. Today, I am lifting up Korea, South and North both. Father, forgive nation of Korea who spoken the word against Israel and people of Israel. God, forgive those evil things done towards people of God. So I declare, God, the author, true author is only God has true authority. So even the word was spoken from the government against Israel, I say today, God of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob is God of Korea, God of both South and North Korea. Once Pyongyang was spoken as a Jerusalem of the East. So Lord, your mercy, your forgiveness, Lord. Let that glory of worshiping the God of Israel will return to South and North Korea again, Lord. Have your mercy. Let the government, today I stand here in the Knesset of Israel. I say Korean government will stand with Israel, South and both North. Let your will be done in Korea and all nations. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Wow.
You'd think.
Wow. Folks, this is so prevalent in American Christianity. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. Somebody probably ready to leave. Just showing you the truth that God would send a strong delusion that they'd believe a lie and that they would worship and serve a people, a creature, rather than the creator. Kind of the way I see it. Eileen, come on in.
Amen. Okay.
We have 4 minutes left. See, you're not even allowed to say it. You're not even allowed to say it. I pray the Chinese find Jesus. I pray the Filipinos find Jesus. I pray that Israel finds Jesus. But I ain't praying for Israel above everybody else.
Amen.
Eileen.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. This is what I received the other day. This is a quote from Benjamin Netanyahu, 1990. I'll read it slow. America is a golden calf, and we will suck it dry, chop it up, and sell it off piece by piece until there is nothing left but the world's biggest welfare state that we will create and control. This is what we do to countries that we hate.
Hey, Eileen, I'm sorry you're so anti-Semitic.
I love the Jewish people, but just like Americans, we hate our government.
Do you see how the game's played? Do you see how the game's played, folks?
Yep.
Do you understand it? Is an unsaved Jew more important than an unsaved Melungeon? Is somebody unsaved in Israel more important than my unsaved child? What is with us? Oh, I know. Because they rejected the truth. The Lord sends a strong delusion. They believe a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. Treading on some ground here that's making some of y'all nervous. Got to do one more thing. I got to do this. Out the door. I got to do this. Pull up number 5. It's really, really quick. I'm sorry if y'all hate me. I'm sorry if y'all hate me. Pull up number 5. Go ahead, quickly.
The only mention of a star being flown in the Bible can be found in Acts 7.43, the Star of Remphan. Acts 7.43 states, "Ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon." The Star of Remphan, for their god Moloch, is a hexagram. Hex is another word for curse, and the state of Israel, created by the Rothschild family, through war and deceit, is a curse on the entire world. The hexagram is not an ancient symbol of Judaism. The hexagram was adopted by the Zionist movement in the late 19th century. It comes from the Rothschild family, and it is a symbol of Zionism, not a symbol of Judaism. It is an abomination to fly that flag here in America. That star represents the number of the beast, as spoken about in the book of Revelation. That star is 666 encoded. It is 6 small triangles, 6 lines, and a 6-sided polygon with 6 60-degree angles. It is literally a symbol of 666, the number of the beast. Why on God's green earth are we flying a flag with a satanic symbol that represents genocide in our city? It's because you are all ignorant and completely cucked to the Jews who have taken over Long Branch. This city is completely unrecognizable from the one I grew up in. This town has become an abomination and a complete embarrassment, all thanks to weak and ignorant leadership like you people before me. Thank you.
As Bill O'Reilly would say, I report, you decide. Oh, my goodness. See you Monday.